last Sunday night, or afternoon, whichever you want to call it. To some of us it was Sunday afternoon and Sunday night by the time we got home from church. I think it was gone 8 o'clock when I arrived home. Hallelujah. God was moving by His Spirit, and we just go with the flow and let God do what He wants to do. Amen. And it is wonderful what the presence and the power of God can do in a person's life. And it's so precious when we see God moving. Were you blessed last week? Amen. You were blessed last week. Were you touched by God last week? Amen. Great. That's good. I'm glad about that. Did you say I didn't? I don't know why we have microphone stands, you know. Make the old man bend down and pick it up. Glory to Jesus. Anybody got a word of testimony from last week? It's good to give glory to God.
Mind, body and soul.
Mind, body and soul. Yes, that's what we were speaking on, weren't we, last week? And there were folk who came out for prayer last week. And anybody got a testimony? Come on, Ava. Let's have you out here. Now, this is a testimony on its own. Praise God. Come on, yeah. Come on. Come on. Come on. Will you stand up here? Hallelujah.
I actually don't know where to begin.
Well, you know, just give them a taste.
The grief that I've carried for as long as I can remember is gone. And
a bit louder.
The grief that I carried for as long as I can remember is gone.
Praise God.
And it made me miserable. I couldn't take enjoyment out of anything. And everything suddenly changed. I've got a lightness about me, a bit more confident, and just everything sweeter, including God's presence, my time with the Lord, and the words opening up more, and it's just beautiful.
Amen. Praise God. Every day with Jesus. Every day with Jesus gets sweeter than the day before. You know, it's no matter what. What is going on in life? And there's a lot going on, as we know. And there's a lot of fear going on at the moment in the world today. You know, this, it says up there, God is love.
Amen.
And the Lord loves you with an everlasting love. He loves us when we don't deserve to be loved.
Yeah.
But He loves us. We don't earn His love. He gives it freely to each and every one of us. And I remember when Ava first started coming, bless her, what a sadness in the soul. What a hurt, a life full of sadness and hurts. There's nothing worse than being sad and hurt, wounded, beaten down. But then to see Jesus beginning to move into a life and beginning to remove all these things that bring sadness, that bring grief, and begins to pour in the oil and the wine of healing, as the Word of God says. And He pours it into our lives and just ministers healing. And the presence of God just came on her last week in such a wonderful way. And when she managed to, when she sort of came off God's operating table, I like to term it, hallelujah, because that's it, you know, God's at work. Don't interfere when the great surgeon is at work.
Yeah.
And Jesus was at work.
Yeah.
And when she came round from the anaesthetic, God's anaesthetic, by the way, somebody had to drive her home.
Yeah.
She was still legless. She was drunk, but she didn't have a hangover.
No.
She was legless, and in the morning she walked with a lightness in her heart, rejoicing and praising God. That's the power of a risen Saviour. That's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, setting the captives free. Hallelujah. That's our Jesus. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. God is so good. I know there were others that God touched as well and began a work. I said began a work. It's not finished yet. Hallelujah. God is still at work. You know, just because it hasn't happened overnight, you know, sometimes the mess that we get ourselves into has taken us years to get there.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we want God to come along and just abracadabra and change it all.
Yeah.
But there's changes to go on in here. The Lord wants you to begin to allow Him to clean out your life, and then His presence will come in and possess and each area with His presence of glory, and that He'll minister into your life and bless you.
Amen.
When you're broken, He's there for you.
Yeah.
When you have no peace, He's there. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's the Prince of Peace. And I want to just continue on where I was, from where I was ministering last week. And basically the title last week was, we can choose to think like God wants us to think. We can choose to think like God wants us to think. We have a choice. You see, God gave us a free will.
Yes.
Make your choice.
Mm-hmm.
The Word of God says, choose you this day whom you will serve in Joshua.
Yes.
Ask for me and my house.
Yes.
We will serve the Lord.
Yes.
There's a choice.
Yes.
Who are you going to serve? Who's going to be on your side? You're going to serve the devil and his ways that make you miserable, that steal and cheat from you and rob you?
No.
Or are you going to serve a God that loves you with an everlasting love?
Yeah.
And we used last week, our starting scripture was from Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. And it says, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. What's your thinking like? What's your thinking like? You know, your thinking is shaped by what you watch, by what you read, by who you mix with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Mix with crooks, mix with thieves, and I guarantee you, at some stage, you'll become part of them.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Association. And God wants you to associate with Him, because He wants you to think His thoughts. God wants you to know that He loves you. Paul wrote in Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, don't be conformed. Don't be like this world. Be different. Be changed. Be transformed. In other words, a little bit like the chrysalis. Remember, do you remember at school, it's the first time I ever saw a chrysalis at school, this black, fat, little, ugly thing. Horrible. And it moved now and again. Horrible looking thing. But if you kept it in that warm environment, that right environment, one day, all of a sudden, out came this beautiful peacock butterfly. And you went, wow. Out of what seems ugly today, God can bring great beauty tomorrow. Out of what seems ugly, out of the ugliness of life that you have been in for all those years, out of that, when you take the hand of God, when you ask Jesus to come into your heart and into your life, then a beauty will begin to form in you. And just like the chrysalis and the butterfly, suddenly there is such a beauty. And just the breath of the wind, and it glides on the wind. Some of them can fly as many as 5,000 miles. You're joking. Yeah, I'm telling you. 5,000 miles. Wow. You wouldn't think he'd have the strength or the energy. So delicate. And yet in its beauty as well, its design. And when the wind blows, it catches the wind. And when the Spirit of God moves, we catch the Spirit. And we flow with the Spirit of God. And last Sunday, we've been flowing with it, where the breath of the Spirit has been blowing, we follow. And we rise up on those winds of the Spirit. He says, don't be conformed, be transformed, be different. Yeah. And this all happens when your mind starts to be renewed. Yeah. When you change your thinking, when you start to mix and to look and to read and to spend time with a different group of people. Yeah. Reading different things, watching different things. When you read the Word of God is there to wash, to cleanse, to heal, to set you free. To bring you to a place of peace and rest. Amen. And perfect stability in Christ Jesus. When He can deliver you from the drugs that you need. When He can set you free from those medications that everybody says, you'll have to stay on this for the rest of your life. The Word of God is the changing power.
It is.
Louise.
Yeah.
A number.
Yeah.
And no name. For years, afraid to speak, having no opinion, no self-worth. And Jesus brings somebody along into a life that knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
And they begin to share the love of God and the Word of God and the power of God. And suddenly, there's a transformation happening. And she's becoming that butterfly. And she's rising up on the breath of the Spirit. Changed by the Word of God. People say, it can't be true. Well, there's one there. There's another one there. Glory to God. There's another one there happening at the back. There's another one here. Praise God. There's another one here, by the way. Changing, being changed into the image of the glory of God. But you know, it's a process. And the process is by staying in the Word. You know, you cooks, you can make a sauce. And what you do is you take the meat and you put them together and you put them and you keep them together and maybe even seal them in a plastic bag until the flavour of the spices and everything permeates into that meat. Is that right? Oh man, I'm getting hungry already. Glory to God. Bring it on, you know. That chicken that was bland has suddenly become what? Spicy chicken with a kick in it and some bring it. And those spicy potatoes. Glory to God. I'm only dropping in, it's okay. And you just think, oh, what a difference that has made. You and I need to be marinated in the Word of God.
Right.
You know, just so that you bathe in it. You allow it to impregnate you. And suddenly you are totally transformed. You're another flavour, you're another savour. You suddenly are something different. Hallelujah. God wants to do this in our lives. You know, we stand against the work of the devil. Ephesians 6 and verses 10 through to 18, you've no need to turn to it. But you know, when the devil brings his tricks and schemes against us, we can stand on the Word of God, using the Word of God to destroy the works of the devil. I was sort of just revisiting this word, and there's just one part I want to bring out that just thought, hey, this is for any tech people. You say, well, I don't have a clue about technology, you might say. Well, if you don't, you know, we often talk about the spirit, the soul, and the body. You can see my body, can't you?
Yeah.
I hope so. I've done some work on it. I've fed it quite a lot over the years, so, you know, I'm here, okay? They tell me if I stand sideways and stick my tongue out, I look like a zip. I used to be that skinny. You're not. We're spirit, but you can't see my spirit. You can't see my soul, really. But you can see my body. By the way, in this body, I have a brain. Hallelujah. Now and again I use it. Use it now and again. This brain is not the soul. Okay? You know, don't get these terminology mixed up. This brain is not the soul. My brain, your brain, really, for a technical person would be, it's the hard drive or the processor of the computer.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you buy a computer, you have a hard drive and a processor in it. You need that. I remember, just reminded me of this now, I remember the first time somebody, they bought me a computer for a shop I was working at. And we were going to put all our stock onto this computer. And they were away and this computer arrived. So excited I was, I unboxed it and got everything out, plugged everything in, got it all ready, turned it on, and it just sat there and blinked at me. And I'm like, and? What happens next? And it just sat there. There was something missing. There was something missing. What was missing? Huh? The program, the software. You see, your mind, the soulish man, is the program, the software. And when we read the Word of God, the Word of God programs. It feeds information into us, into the soulish man. And you see, the hard drive, the brain, doesn't work unless there's some software available.
Yeah.
We all know we've had challenges, haven't we, with software. We get a program and we say, I've got this and I can't open it. No, because you don't have the right piece of software. You've got the right computer, got the right brain, but the software. This is the software for everlasting life.
Amen.
This is the manual, the software that programs the soulish manner of our lives. And suddenly we find we can do things that we couldn't do before because we've got the right programming. Everything else is there. But without the program of the Spirit of God working in our lives, this soulish man cannot function. You see, the Spirit speaks and sets off. It's, I had another thought today. The Spirit is a little bit like, shall we say, our internet connection. Yeah? I'm connected to Jesus. You know, my Wi-Fi's connected to Jesus, you know? The password is J-E-S-U-S. Hallelujah. And we need to ensure that our password is in and that we've got a good high-speed connection to heaven itself. Hallelujah. And that it comes out through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God working in our lives. Amen. So every time now you turn on your computer, you'll start thinking, oh, hallelujah, am I connected to J-E-S-U-S? Hallelujah. I need a high-speed broadband connection to heaven. Glory to God. You know, my software has been updated when I read the Word of God. Hallelujah. Just, you know, a fresh update, you know. Get the latest version of God's software update in your lives. Praise His wonderful name. Deliverance. Setting captives free. And then the rest of you will function perfectly. As God speaks to us, the rest of us begins to function. No viruses. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. All the viruses have been removed by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Is that right, Ava? No more viruses. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus came to set captives free. You know, all this stuff we've got in today's generations, all this technology, God knew all about this long before we even invented it. He's the inventor of it. He gave us the ideas. Praise His wonderful name. We can choose to think like God wants us to think. You have a choice today. Well, you haven't lived the life that I've lived, no. And you haven't lived the life that I've lived, neither. But let me tell you this. Having lived in a relationship with the Lord Jesus for 55 years, I can tell you this, it's the best life that you will ever ever live. It is the greatest experience that you can ever have. And you know, it is sometimes just a step, by step, by step, by step, walking with Him. You walk into your freedom. You walk into your deliverance. You are being set free. Each and every one of us is being set free from the power of the enemy. You see, when God gave to the children of Israel the promised land, He said, all these nations, they're in the land. And God said, if I want, I could just come in and just wipe them all out. He says, but then the land will overtake you. The wild animals will overtake you. It will be so strong. So you... Say me. 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 I am going to possess the land. Yeah? Come on. You know, you're going to buy the Spirit of God. I am going to possess this land. The devil's not going to write on it. I'm possessing this land.
Amen. Amen.
Come on, join me. Say, I will have the victory in my land. I will have the victory in my land. You know, when you say this, you are saying this to principalities and powers. You are making a declaration in the heavenly realm that is giving notice to the devil that God will possess this land and I will possess it with Him. It is partnership with God. You cannot do it on your own. You know, you go to the doctors and what have you, and they give you some medication. They say, take the course of tablets. And if you don't, it doesn't work. It's not effective. Well, let me tell you this. This is the best medicine you can ever take. The Word of God. Oh, I don't believe it. Well, I'm going to share some things that actually, some studies by doctors that actually are proving that the Word of God actually improves your health. Glory to God, you know what I mean? I'm still riding a motorbike at however old I am. I lost track actually years ago, can't remember. Don't feel my age, you know. I'm just going for Jesus. I'm excited. He renews my youth like the eagles. And it's because the Word of God is flowing in our lives. He's refreshing us and cleansing us. Some tests have been done by some scientists, and they have discovered that as we read, our minds, our soulish man, generates also electrochemicals and quantum action in the neurons in our brain. That's just simply by reading. So the next thing is, what you read is important. You know what I mean? I'm telling you. What you read is important. You know, don't bother reading these soap magazines and watch these soap operas and whatever they want to call them. They're not even an opera, really, are they? I don't know what you'd call them, but soaps. Just blowing bubbles. Do you remember when you were a child? Before I came to know the Lord as a young child, I remember, you know, living in a mining village. There's quite a bit of swearing going on. And your mum heard you swear. You know, you're only this high. And your mum heard you swear. You know what it was? Come in here. She'd drag you into the kitchen. The next thing she'd say, open your mouth. So you, and she'd shove a bar of soap in your mouth and say, chew on that. Wash your mouth out. Never happened to you? Oh, no, I know. You were in a goody two shoes, weren't you? It happened to me. Palm olive. Yeah, palm olive, that green stuff. You think, oh, but it reminds you. You remember, don't you? You're not saying anything, are you? Eh? It happened to you, though, didn't it? I did, I can tell. I can tell. When they all go quiet and you see him shrinking down inside, you think, yeah, you'll want to know. I'm not on my own, I know that. I'll tell you, glory to Jesus. So what we look at, what we read, what we, you know, what we get connected with actually affects us. The people that we connect with on the internet. On our phones, mobile phones. I know a young man, he started messing about on his phone, got connected with some, what he thought were women, did some stupid things. The next thing, we're going to send these videos all over to all of your friends if you don't send us some money. You can get suckered in by these people so easily. Yeah. Don't mix with the wrong people. Mix with the people that you know are walking close to God. Mix with the people that are going forward in God. I tell you what, you start running with them and you start seeing God using you mightily to change circumstances and situations in other people's lives. Okay, so we said, as we read, if we read the Word of God, reading generates electromagnetic, electrochemical and quantum actions in neurons. It causes magnetic fields that can be measured. The doctors can measure magnetic fields that are going on in your body. Electrical impulses. These, they can track them. And so they can see what the Word of God does when you read the Word of God, or when you're reading garbage. How garbage affects you. I told you stories before any of the modern technology came out in the 1900s of John G. Lake, when he started to pray on a man's leg and they put these electrical contacts between them. When he laid his hands in the middle of that, there was a surge, there was a movement of electricity, and there was a healing process going on in this man's leg. How did it happen? He wasn't connected to the mains because he'd have killed him. But he was connected to the eternal mains, heaven itself, and the power of God was flowing through him. That's not just for one man. That is for the church today. And you think, if you've been to a church and it's like, oh, it was dead when I went. Yeah, well, there is still some dead churches. But Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive. Jesus has come to set captives free. He's come to heal. He's come to deliver. And He's come to give you life, and that more abundantly. He's come to give you joy. He's come to give you peace. And He's come to give you a hope and a future. Hallelujah. That's what He's come for. He's not come to put you down. He's come to lift you up after the miry clay. He's come to break the shackles that hold you down. He's come to open the prison doors and bring deliverance to you. That's Jesus. You see, my God is a God of love. He hates our sins, but He loves the sinner. And there's a difference. The church so often has preached the wrong message. Oh, you know, He hates you. No, He doesn't. He loves you. Say, He loves me. I can't hear you. He loves me. He loves us. Glory to God. And in His loving us, He changes us. Romans, we are transformed into the image of the living God. Be like Christ, to be made Christ-like. It says also, as we read the right things, the chemicals that are in a body, these are affected. And these can be seen and these can be measured. You see, science is only confirming what God's Word already said. Renew your mind. Because when you start renewing your mind, it affects every part of you. Renew this soulish man. Not your brain. Your brain is just a processor. Your brain processes what the software gives it. We need to get the right software into our lives. Yeah. They can see the activity on computer screens with the right programs as they monitor what's happening in a person's life when they start reading. John G. Lake, they gave him a book to read, and they watched the electrical current moving up and down as he read. And then they gave him the Word of God to read. And when he started to read the Word of God, he started going off the scale. And then all of a sudden he went into speaking in tongues, and that was it. The needles went over to the other side and stayed there. Glory to Jesus. There's power in the spirit realm. And people dismiss it. If you remember, 2 weeks ago there was a storm about to hit Cuba. Go right up the island, bringing devastation. And we, just as a church, prayed, Lord. And I'm not saying we're the only church, but I only know of us. And we began to pray, and we prayed, Lord, turn that storm and weaken that storm. And that storm turned and weakened, and they just got rain, which they needed for the fields. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. Our God can do exceedingly abundantly, more than we ask or think. But you know, we've got to connect.
We have.
You know, we have radio microphones. And if they're on the wrong frequency, they're useless.
Yeah.
They're a waste of time. They have to be on the right frequency.
Yeah.
And we, the people of God, have got to get onto God's frequency.
Yeah.
Stop being negative.
Yeah.
Stop looking at the worst. Start looking and saying, God's going to deliver me. God's going to set me free. God's going to move in power in my life. God is going to use me. I don't care whether I'm 85 or 72 or 73 or 21. I don't care how old you are. You know, if you allow God to come in your life, He will use you and move you. It's not over until it's over. They're going to have to put me in a box to shut me up. Glory to God. And if you're not careful, if somebody lays hands on it and says, "Arise, O thou that sleepest, awake from the dead, then I'll come back." Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. You might laugh, but I've seen three people raised from the dead. Oh, I don't believe that. You can believe what you want. I don't exaggerate. I'm telling you the truth. I have seen three people raised from the dead. God is mighty. God is mighty. God has come to set captives free. He's come down to set you and me free. He's come to break the power of the enemy. He's come to break the oppression and depression. He's come to break sadness. He's come to break guilt, bitterness and resentments. He's come to set us free from all of those things. He wants you to know the love and the joy that there is in Jesus Christ. You might say, why are you so happy? Because I know Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. To answer Him I long, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I don't know where that came from, but that came from years back. But but I still know it today.
Yes.
He loves me.
Amen.
He's got enough reason to say, "Andrew, you did this wrong, you did that wrong, you've done this wrong and that wrong," and it's like, I don't see why I should keep on loving you. Anybody in the same boat? But you know something? His everlasting love. He's constantly being poured out to us. Because He has a plan. He has a plan. He has a purpose for each and every one of us. You know, in the Bible, in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, we find that two brothers, Cain and Abel, and they bring an offering to God of thanksgiving, and it says, in due course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of fruit from the ground, and Abel brought forth the firstborn of his flocks and their fat offerings. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering He had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. He got the mully grubs on. He got upset. You see, Cain brought from his work, from his efforts. Cain brought and said, "Look, this is what I've grown." We don't come to God and say, "This is what I've done, God. There's nothing that I have done. Anything that I might appear to have achieved, it has all been because of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that I am, all that I will be because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Him, I have nothing. Without Him, I will be nothing." Hallelujah. He says, and Cain was very angry. His face fell, and the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door." That should tell us something. Every day of our life, sin will crouch at the door. It wants you to open the door and let it in. It wants you, you see, it can't come in on its own. It has to have an invite. I'm going to be angry with so and so. Did you know what they said to me? Just open the door. I hate that Mrs. So-and-so. Just open the door. I'll never speak to him again. Just open the door. And sin begins to enter him. Yeah, but you don't know what they did and what they said. No, but God does. They didn't crucify you, did they? They didn't hang you on a tree and thrust a spear in your side and nails in your hands and feet and said, if you're the Son of God, come down. If not, die. You see, Jesus took all of my sins. He took my punishments for opening the door and letting something in, that he might walk into my life and he might begin to remove those things that I let into my life. Are you understanding me? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Of course, God tells, he tells Cain, he said, you know, he said, if you do well, sin is crouching at your door. It desires, its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. You see, God right at the beginning is still saying to the sons of Adam and Eve, rule, rule, take authority. And today, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is being told, rule and reign. Take authority. Take authority in this land. Amen. That the Lord has given you. Possess this land by His Spirit and with His Word. Begin to think like God. God is love. Begin to love like God. I've had many opportunities to be embittered with people and circumstances. Many opportunities to have kept hurts in my life because of what people said and done. But as Joshua said, choose you this day who you will serve. Are you going to serve bitterness? Are you going to serve resentment? Are you going to serve hatred? Or are you going to let it go? Open the front door, open the back door, and let it go straight through. Don't let it stay. Don't give it space in your life. Fill your life with the things of the Spirit of God and say, I'm too busy for bitterness. I'm too busy for resentment. I'm too busy for hurts. I'm too busy on the King's business to let those things have any room to possess me. You know, there's the other one. Did you know what so-and-so said about you? Here we go. You know, we had a friend in America. Did she buy you a pair of earrings?
Yeah.
She bought Grace a pair of earrings. And this friend of ours had a pair of earrings. On one ear it said, in. And on the other ear it said, out. And that's what you need. In, out. Don't let it take root. Don't let it leave a seed in your life. In, out. I'm too busy. You know, Nehemiah said when they said to you, oh, Nehemiah, come down. We need to talk with you about what you're doing, you know. They'd only been trying to kill him. They'd only been mocking him and laughing at him and cursing him. They tried everything and they couldn't get him. So we'll try another trick. Come down, Nehemiah, we're your friends. We want to talk to you, you know. He said, sorry, I'm too busy with God's business.
Amen.
And he stayed away. You need to stay away sometimes. Let God deal with them. Then I've been in circumstances where people have abused us financially and etc. And I've had friends who wanted to tear them apart, to get the local authorities on them for their misdoings and their lying and cheating and stealing. And I said, no, no, we're not going to do that. We are going to hand them over to God. And in less than 6 months, they were removed from their circumstance. They lost everything because they cheated on God. And I'm like, wow. Tell you, if you want a job doing, stand back and let God get involved. Get well out of the way, because He will deal righteously and effectively. And you won't have to have expended any energy on this awful circumstance and situation. You've just carried on walking on with God. You've just carried on walking in His presence and enjoying life in the presence of God. And God has set His angels onto that circumstance and that situation, and He will bring them down. Everything that has a name will bow its knee to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Your thinking creates DNA strands. So the moment that you feed the Word of God into your heart, into your mind, into your soulish man, suddenly there is a creative force operating within you. Wow. How can that be? Well, simple. How many of you who are here today have been prayed for in this church and have been healed? Glory to God. Now that, and I know some of you, if not all of you, felt such a power at times. Yeah? I know last week, there's a young lady here, and we prayed with her, and the power of God just came upon her, and she just went down to the floor. And I went to chat with her later, and we were talking about some things, and I said, can I pray with you again? Pray with you. Just let me hold your hands. And she said to me, you're not going to put me on the floor again, are you? I said, I didn't do it. I didn't do it, you know. I've been accused of having trigger words that knock people down. I wish I knew what they were, because there's a, you know, there's times, oh, I could just see in there. When the power and the presence of God is flowing, I mean, if you'd have been stood up here during worship, there was a precious sense of the power of the Spirit there. Is that right? There was just the moving of the Spirit, and He's still here. He's still here. And you know, as we begin to apply the Word of God into our lives, we begin to read it, it begins to create DNA strands ready to be unzipped in our bodies to produce the right signals to correct anything that is wrong within us. Wow. Science is just discovering this, by the way. God already knew this from the very moment of creation, because God put it in there. And so if you will be in His presence, you see, when Adam and Eve were in the presence of God, They were absorbing all the presence and the power and the words that were coming from the very throne room of God. We've got some of them written down here. And so when we read this, we're reading things that have been said from the very throne room of God. When the Spirit of God begins to speak and confirms and the Word in our lives, we're hearing from the throne room of God. And in that words that are coming out, there is power. He's creating new DNA links within us. He's beginning to do a correction within our bodies. He's touching us and ministering into us, ready to release healing power. Yeah, but I don't know how it works, neither do I. But guess what? I still use it. You know, when I first got an iPhone, I didn't know how it worked. The only way I got to know it worked was by using it. The more I used it, the more I got to know it. The more I used it, I found out the things that it did, and it did more and more and more and more. But actually, it did all of those things, but I didn't know any of those things because I knew nothing about the iPhone. Today, we live in a society. 90-odd% of society does not have a clue what is in this book. 90%, over 90% of today's society do not know the power that is in this book. They do not know the resources that is in this book, the Word of God. That does not make it any weaker. That does not make it any less important. It actually is more important than anything else. This Word. When we begin to read the Word of God and we begin to see DNA strands being processed in our body and ready to be unzipped to give the correct signals to bring a creative force in our body. And 90% of this happens through our thinking. As a man thinketh, so he is. As a woman thinks, so she is. I am not the sick trying to get healed. I am the healed. My body has to come in line with my thinking. My body has to come in line with the Word of God, because the Word of God is my thinking. They told me over 10 years, maybe 12 years ago, I had a prolapsed disc. I was in agony, 6 months on medication, drugged out to the eyeballs, crawling on my hands and knees for 3 months to the bathroom. Absolute agony. Grace was the drug dealer coming and giving me drugs. I'd not got a clue what was going on. Then I suddenly realised one day I was addicted. I could not just turn them off. I was out of my mind. And when I realised that, I thought, things need to change. Even went to the surgeons, and the surgeons said, well, we'll operate. And then they tell you everything that can go wrong. She's okay. And then I said to them, if I have the operation, will I be able to ride my motorcycle? Oh, and the doctor said, no. And I looked at him, I said, you've just said the wrong thing. You're not taking that off me. He said, well, I had a motorbike. And he said, I've had the operation, I can't ride a bike anymore. I said, well, it's not happening here. I said, I'm going to have to believe Jesus. 12 months later, from the incident when it started, we were on the motorcycle, and we were riding through France. We took a 2 weeks holiday on the motorcycle. Jesus the same yesterday, today and forever. He's the healer. He's the one who sets captives free. I just have to learn now to be very sensible about certain things I do. You know? But I believe I'm healed. Amen. I had a back problem these last few weeks. It was not in that area at all. Praise God. You know, so I believe I'm healed. Amen. You see, it is the fact of this creative power of the Word of God that works in our lives that changes us. She's changed and changing. Carol, glory to God, she's had a knee operation. Was it one or two? One. Had a knee operation. Couldn't bend it properly. In pain with it. Came out for prayer one time, we laid hands on, the power of God came on her. Guess what? Now she can bend it, no more pain. She can bend it further than she could before, yeah? She can do what she couldn't do before.
Amen.
This is not exaggeration, this is truth. This is what God does. Blind eyes open. I've seen blind eyes open, deaf ears and stopped in Romania. Why? It's this book. It's this Jesus. It's the God I serve. There is a power and a force that resides in us when we partake of the Word of God, when we let the Word of God fill our lives. There is a power source we are charged to release. And that's why I say, you know, I want to have a church raised up where everyone is able to minister under the Spirit, under the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want the flakies. I want the real stuff. I want the hard stuff, the stuff that really does the job. And when I said the flakies, I had somebody once come to my house and they said, they're going to deliver this young man. They brought this young man and wanted me to pray. And this guy started to do his deliverance technique. So I just sat down and watched. Absolute waste of time. But, you know, this is how he was going to do it. And he was a young man. He was not going to be taught anything. So I let him get on with it. And then when he finished jumping up and down and shouting and railing, nothing had really happened. And then he turns around, and in our house we have, you know, well, you all have them, you have cushions, don't you? Well, our cushions, believe it or not, they have feathers in them. They can be a nuisance sometimes, you know, you lay them, it's got a feather stuck in it. And there was a feather on the floor. And this guy bends down, seriously, he bends down, he picks his feather up, he says, look, angels have been with us. And then he finds another one. We've got two angels that were with us. Whoa! You know something? Angel moves the feathers. Don't believe that. Load of rubbish. I thought, shut up, Andrew. Do not say a word. Keep quiet. We have warrior angels.
Amen.
Mighty angels. Of the army of the Lord. You know, when Joshua went to take Jericho, and he's that night he's looking at the city and he's wondering how we're going to do this, you know. And this man turns up, this guy, and he says, who are you? He says, I'm the angel of the Lord. Put down your sword, take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground. We need to be standing on holy ground. And when we stand on that holy ground, the power and the presence of God will flow. Sadly, there's somebody today who's not joined us. Do you know why? Because the love of God has been flowing so much that it's just overwhelmed them. They're running from God.
Yeah.
You see, the world just cannot handle true love.
No.
These days, in many marriages, love doesn't exist. It's a contract. Sign on the bottom line. And when you want to get rid of the contract, take it to the shredder and lob it down the shredder and that's it, we're done. It's a covenant. It's a covenant. It's the love of God. True love. Hallelujah. What does all this science mean? One, science, scientific investigations is a way of admiring God through His creation. How it is constructed. You know, I talked about the butterfly. We said last week about the bumblebee. You know, scientists said, can't fly. Too big, wrong shape, impossible, wings are too small. Just, no, cannot fly. So the bee, the bumblebee says, just watch. And off it goes. Says, see, I can fly. Don't tell God what He can't do. Believe what He can do. Believe what the Word of God says. When you believe, when you see science proving the Word of God, you can bring you to a point where you should be in a place of peace and rest, knowing that God knows all things, that God is able, and that God is in control of the end results. Scientists are discovering precise pathways by which changes in human thinking operate as signals, and these signals operate genetic expression. You know, oh well, they'll always be like that, it's genetic. Yeah, well guess what, when I got saved, God changed my genes. And I was no longer living in Levi genes, I was living in God genes. Hallelujah. I had the genes of my Heavenly Father. Praise His wonderful name. You see, there's a change coming. You see, when Jesus rose up from the dead, the disciples were in their room, the doors were locked. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears in the center of the room. How did He do that? It's a ghost, was the answer. Freaked them out. It's a ghost. It came through the brickwork. Oh, it's a ghost. It has to be. And Jesus says, give me some food, fish and bread. Sat down and ate. Ghosts do not eat. You know something? Oh, there's going to be a banquet in heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we're going to be able to partake of that eternal banquet. Praise His wonderful name. There's going to be no E numbers in it. There's going to be no chemicals in it. It's just going to be purely the glory of God that has caused this fruit and whatever else we have to eat. His banquet, His banner over me is His love. Hallelujah. And He's bringing us into His banqueting house. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. You know, we're set for a great purpose and destiny. With great things to be accomplishing here today and the next few days and the next few weeks and months. We're here for a purpose. God is calling you. And God is challenging you to change.
Amen.
Change. Change your confession. Change your thinking. Get into the Word of God. Let the Word of God change you, shape you, and mold you. And equip you for the work of the kingdom. That's why we're doing Bible school. Starts on Tuesday. To begin to change your thinking. To begin to equip you. For works of service, for victories, to walk in the name of Jesus. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 8 and 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellency, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Hallelujah. Verse 9. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you practice it, you'll have peace. You know, people over the years when they've come to visit us at our house, often they say, there's such a peace in this place. Why? Because we allow the Prince of Peace to live, to rule, and to reign in us, through us, and in what we have. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55 and verses 6. says this: seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. See, your thinking.
Yeah.
It's your thinking that gets you into trouble.
Yeah.
I love it when people come up to me and say, you know, Pastor, I've been thinking. I think, oh God, here we go. Oh dear. They haven't been praying. They haven't been reading. I've been thinking. Oh God, here we go. Now we're in trouble. It's your thinking that gets you into bother. Every sin starts with the thinking. Don't it? All starts here. He goes on to say, let him return to the Lord, that he might have compassion on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You know, don't let your thinking get in the way of the relationship with God. Don't let your thoughts hold you back from walking close to God. And God goes on and says in Isaiah through the prophet in verse 8, and says, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let me ask you a question. Which came first? God or the genes that make up your body? Anybody else?
God.
Yeah. God came first. Everything else comes after. So all the genes that God has made up for your body are in his hand. Everything about you is in the palm of his hands. He said he weighs the oceans in his hands. He can measure things. There's that old song, he's got the whole world in his hands, he's got the whole wide world in his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands, he's got you and me, brother. In his hands, he's got you and me, sister. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. Simple things. Powerful truths. Things that you forget these things, you see, because then the troubles of the world start to come over you, and you forget. He's got you and me, brother. In his hands he's got you and me, brother. In his hands he's got you and me, brother. In his hands he's got the whole world in his hands. You forget that. Many of you have never even thought of that for many and many years. But he's got you in his hands. He has a purpose for your life. Well, if you've gone through what I've gone through, you know, I don't see how God can have a purpose. Well, I'm telling you, you're not here by an accident looking for a place to happen.
No.
You're here by divine appointment by the Almighty God.
Yeah.
Science has been saying historically that it's in your genes. That's how your makeup is. Well, it's not true. We've been sold a lie. It's an excuse for weaknesses in science. It's not. We're not just a chemical plant, right? We're not made up of drugs and everything else. We are first spiritual. That's who we are. Everything else comes second. And if we starve our spiritual being, then actually we weaken our physical being.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Yeah. If we starve our spiritual being, we weaken our physical being.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not sure how that works. Neither am I. Neither am I sure how that when I have a meal, it puts strength into my body, it causes muscles to grow. We just got a new dog. We're just in our third week with him. We feed him and this dog grows. He gets taller. He gets stronger. How does it happen? It's just like some form of vegetables he's eating, and yet he puts fat muscles on and everything. How does this work? Because God is doing something amazing. He does it in you. He does it in all of creation that he created. Do you understand how it happens? No. Well, you don't sit there and say, well, because I don't understand it, I'm not going to eat it, do you? It'll not be long before you're like a rail. Starve yourself to death. Or, well, unless I know how it works, I'm not going to take it. It's like electricity. You walk in a room. What do? When it's dark, you flick a switch. Most of you don't know how it works, do you? You're shocked when the light doesn't come on. No lights, what happened? Should always come on when I flick that switch. Never ask. I wonder how it works. You don't care as long as it works. And the Word of God works in our lives. We've been sold a lie. The world tells us one thing because it wants to deny the Creator. But our spiritual being wants to declare the Creator. Wants to give Him praise. Don't starve yourself of spiritual food. Strengthen yourself spiritually. Equip yourself spiritually. Bring your place through the fullness of life and through the power of God working in your life, and you will know the peace of God and the contentment of God in your life. Praise His wonderful name. It's 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Hallelujah. When you spend time in God, when you allow the Word of God to minister into your heart and life, you will come to a place of contentment in God. A place of peace, a place of rest. No more striving, no more stress. And God will set you free from all that has been going on around you. And He will heal you and minister into your life. But I'm telling you this, don't just pop in for snacks. It's not a snack that you need from God. It's a banquet. It's a banquet. So many Christians are taking their Bibles and they're doing this. Oh, it's upside down. Oh dear. I wonder what that means. Maybe I should go to Australia. And they dip the finger in. And this one I've got says, but now listen, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Praise God, it's going to help me. Then I remember a story of one guy, he did that. Opened his Bible, put his finger in and said, and so-and-so went and hanged him. Judas went and hanged himself. So I thought, ooh, that's not a very good scripture. So I shut it again, opened it again, put his finger in again. He said, go and do thou likewise. That's what it's like. Dipping in, dipping out, That's not how you get fed. The invitation is for the banquet. Come on. Join the banquet. Just close our eyes and for a moment let's pray. I haven't finished, but we'll stay there for now. Glory to Jesus. Father, we just thank you for your word. More and more we realize that we can choose to think like God. We can choose to think like you want us to think, God. And I just pray today, Father, that as we ponder on that thought, that as a man thinketh, so they are. Father, I pray, Lord, for those with troubled hearts, troubled paths, struggling, Lord, with griefs and hurts, pains, even to a point of hatred, O God. Where they feel there's no hope, where they feel there's no future, where they feel everything has been lost. Father, today, just show them that you are the restorer. That you are the God of love. That you are a God with a purpose and a plan for each of our lives. And if we will connect with you, if we will join with you, then Lord, we will get on that right pathway. And Father, you will begin to bring to us an abundant life. You will begin to bring to us a peace and a joy and a rest that we've never known before. Father, I pray for any of us that are here in that state right now, Father. Pray for those who are unwell and need a touch from you. Lord, your word is the healer. Jesus, the word of God, the healer. Come to set captives free. We pray that your holy presence would just move over us in Jesus' name. Precious Father.